Welcome to It's No Secret, a podcast for Kiwis who want their money questions answered.
Ready, steady, go.
This podcast will answer the money questions you may or may not have on your mind. We'll talk to real Kiwis and share truths about our own financial lives.
Both the successes and the failures. Because the truth is, there is no secret to achieving financial freedom.
Hello and welcome to It's No Secret. I'm Christine.
And I'm Kat.
And today we're back with another Q&A themed on the topic of scams. So scams are a bit of a hot topic at the moment. There's been a lot of news on this recently. If you just Google scams NZ and look at the news segments, there's literally so many articles from the last 2 days over, yep. The last couple of months. And we're seeing this more and more with the conversation around, whether banks should be responsible for rectifying people with scams and all that kind of stuff. So yep. This episode came about because Kat was on a bus the other day.
Yeah.
And she overheard a fun conversation about that she was like, red flag, red flag, this is a scam. Or is it? We'll let you decide.
True.
We wanted to just chat through it today, really. But perfect. Before we dig into the example, a couple of stats, which are pretty staggering. The Ministry of Business and Innovation and Employment releases a yearly report, I believe, and there's such a thing as apparently Fraud Awareness Week. Who knew? And this report, up until September 2023, for the year previous, showed that nearly $200 million was lost by Kiwis to scams over the last year, according to 11 of the country's largest financial institutions. So that was the likes of ASB, Westpac, those kinds of things. It's pretty crazy. And then also, according to netsafe.org.nz, 62% of the Kiwis encounter a scam at least once per month. That is crazy. Like, just the amount of phishing
going on, emails, texts,
dodgy things. So many texts. Like,
reach outs on social media.
Social media is definitely on the rise. And then last interesting stat is, since 2020, the FMA, which is Financial Markets Authority, and they're kind of a governing body, I guess.
For the industry?
Yes. Has received more than 1,300 complaints and issued 373 warnings about investment scams. Two common types of scams targeting New Zealand's lately are fake investment prospectuses and term deposit comparison sites. So, they're just really getting more and more sophisticated. And it's harder and harder to tell between what is the bank and a scam, really.
Yeah.
So what was this example that you heard on the bank?
Okay, story time. Yep. So, because I think this is good for a number of reasons. So originally when I listened to this story, I was literally just like waiting for the bus, overhearing two young girls. I'm going to say they were definitely Gen Z. They looked like they were probably in university.
Yep.
They were just chatting about what was going on in their lives. And one of them was telling her friend about the fact that this must have been on Monday, I think. So it must have been like, the weekend update chat, basically. And they were talking about, been chatting to this guy and he wants to start paying for things for me. And, over the weekend we were like messaging back and forth, didn't say on what platform, but from the combo I was assuming it sounded like it was over social media. It wasn't over text.
Yeah.
And she had said, like, in these conversations, this person had asked what she was doing. And she's like, I'm going to get my nails done. And he was like, oh, that's something that I could pay for you for. Like, why don't, I would really love to start paying for things for you. And of course I was like, oh, this is an interesting chat. I'll listen in.
Your ears perk up.
Yeah, because I was like, wow, okay, this chick's obviously got a sugar daddy. Interesting. And then her friend was like, oh my God, that's so great. Like, rah-rah. And then the conversation kept going and she's like, yeah, I've like seen photos and he's got like four cars and was kind of providing this information that seemed to be justifying that this person was quite wealthy and therefore would be in a position to be paying for things for total strange females on random females on the internet. And then her friend was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then she goes, yeah, so he's asked for my bank account. And then he also asked for my address because he wants to send me gifts. And at this point, her friend was like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, I did think, oh, maybe that's a bit dodgy. And originally my mind at this point was like, oh gosh, please don't give a stranger on the internet like your address because maybe they're a stalker or something. Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't like kind you of more, a physical safety element was my original thought.
Yeah.
And then the conversation carried on and her friend said, oh, you know, why don't you give him Sally's address as a joke to like kind of add a layer of protection, just give him a different person's address, but still give him your bank account. And then they were kind of saying, oh, that's a good idea. And then she goes, or you could also just go and why don't you just go and set up a new bank account at your bank and then give him that bank account and then give him your address. So you've essentially got like a different bank account for him to send you money and he's got your address. And at this point, the bus came and I got on the bus and I didn't get to hear the end of the conversation. But the minute I got on the bus, I had another thought, which was, oh, I don't think there's a like safety concern here, like a physical safety concern. I don't think this person's necessarily going to rock up to her address and like stalk her from their car, but potentially they are trying to fish financial details from this young female so that they can basically conduct some kind of financial scam. And had I not been on the bus, I probably would have said that to them and been like, hey, red flag, are you really sure that this is a genuine sugar daddy offer?
Yeah.
Because that in itself is a quite unusual, bit random, meeting people on the internet that just want to pay you some money and shower you with gifts. Mm-hmm. Like that's not necessarily the norm. And sure, there are some really generous people out there that, get off on that stuff. So cool. If you find a legit one, all power to you. But
maybe do the feet F or something.
The other thing is that this kind of twigged for me that I think people often think financial scams are you triggering a payment to someone else. Like they're actually, they're taking your money. The ultimate end game is, you know, they're getting you to confirm a payment that you've made. You've received a rogue text from supposedly your bank and then they ask for you to confirm some payment details or whatever that might be. Yep. But there are also like many complexities to various scams. Mm. And if you think about the two pieces of information that this girl was potentially offering up to a total stranger, it's her physical address and it's also her bank account number. So through her bank account number, they could find out, of course, who she banks with and they know where she lives. So and they also know her full name. So you have three pieces of unique identifying factors for someone that you could then potentially start to either steal their identity or you could, you know, open or attempt to open other financial products on their behalf. You could try and hack into their systems to do like, you know, a change of a like get bank accounts, like our letterboxes in Mount Eden on the regular get trawled through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, between all the time. I would say at least once a month by strangers.
Oh, wow.
We see that it happening between the hours of usually like 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. They go through and open up every letterbox and take all the mail to basically find bank cards.
What the fuck?
That's why they're looking. Well, they're looking for but they're looking for things that could, you know, facilitate because the banks still send you
physical cards.
Exactly, physical cards, all that type of stuff. So, I think it was just a really good example of I was originally like, oh my gosh, you know, came into the office and was like, guys, listen to this story. Do we think that this was a scam or is this a real sugar daddy? Like, I don't know. And it then, of course, prompted the conversation of
scams in general.
Yeah, scams and how easy it may feel or be to inadvertently give pieces of information about you that feel quite distinct, i.e. your bank account and your address in this situation are being given for different reasons.
Yeah.
You want to receive some physical gifts, great. Maybe they're going to send you flowers and you're sending a bank account so that they can send you some money every now and again.
Mm.
But those two pieces of information combined could be quite powerful for someone that is conducting a financial scam.
Yes. Yeah. Mic drop moment.
Yeah.
we'll
have to just hang out at the bus stop next Monday to see if these girls are getting on the same bus
at
and then
the
I can like
time,
regroup on this conversation.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you're like, this is like red flag, we would love to hear about it. This is like murder mystery solving.
Do we think that this is a legit sugar daddy or is it a scam?
Scam. Yeah.
And look, let's say like, you know, on the whole theme of then scams, it's like, okay, let's go down the path of it's a legit sugar daddy. Mm. How would we verify? Like, and you know, sub out sugar daddy to some other thing. Like, let's say you're approached or you receive a text or you get a message or an email, something. It's like, what do you go through? What are the steps that you can take to either confirm that this is legitimate or give yourself some more information to prove that it may be a bit dodgy? Have you got some thoughts on this, Christine? Because there's some government resources, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is an easy Google just enough?
Yeah. I do think so. There's a lot of different, like, you know, that sorter.co.nz
yep.
provide some guidance on like how to spot a scam and things like that. And government websites like yep. MB will have that as well.
Yep.
After we quickly had a look, there are a couple things that just, I guess, would take as tips for spotting the scam, potentially mm-hmm. maybe not like in that specific scenario, how do yep. I work through it? But for example, like red flag in our eyes would be if they were asking for a bank account and an address or passwords, you know, mm-hmm. so like an example would be maybe they call you up and pretend to be calling from your bank. This yep. happened to a colleague of ours recently
yep.
where the bank called her and were like, I can't remember what the exact scenario was, but they were trying to get her to give
them
information and say like verify the code
transaction
and something like that.
Yeah.
And she quickly realized that it wasn't. But like if you're pushing back and asking questions and they're refusing you to give you information related to your account that you let's say are online and real time mm-hmm. viewing, then that's probably a red flag as well.
Yep.
So worth maybe hanging the phone up and then calling the bank directly to verify. Do you have records of someone just calling me 5 minutes ago?
Yes.
They were asking all these things, you know, and if they're like, no, well, then clearly
it's a scam.
It's a no go. yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some other things are psychology of the scam. So mm-hmm. if let's say in that scenario, they were calling you and really creating a sense of urgency or playing on your emotions of fear and greed, that's probably not the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a bank
offering
would ever
someone
do that.
A sugar daddy is kind of playing into that, right?
Yeah.
Because
desperation for money.
Yeah, yeah. Or like the opportunity that feels legit and mm. perhaps you don't have enough like worldly experience yet if you're a younger person to kind of see that maybe that's not super common,
no.
you know, it's really yeah. easy to hear about things on the internet and see the glossy like good stories and
yep.
try and determine what on TikTok or Instagram is actually reality versus what's fake.
Yep.
And so,
totally.
You know, and I think that's also a good example of like that's someone that probably doesn't identify in themselves as being necessarily at risk of a financial scam
mm.
because I'm going to hazard a guess that like, you know, a young female uni student probably doesn't have a huge amount of net worth
yeah.
or money in their bank account that they feel like they would be targeted for.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, I would say a lot of people feel mm-hmm. like, oh, it's the elderly that get scammed or it's the people that are in
yeah.
their like 50s, 60s, 70s because they have more money to scam.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
it
totally.
Could be that they're just trying to get information about this person so that they can open financial products
mm-hmm.
and therefore like use that person's identity or other means to, you know, facilitate a scam.
Yeah. We were actually talking to Jack about how his partner's identity got stolen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what was the scenario? Do you remember of that? Around it was using buying an iPhone or something along
yes,
those lines.
Yes. Buying an iPhone and
in his partner's name. Or like, oh no, okay.
Oh no. The outcome was that they bought an iPhone.
Yeah.
So she had lost her wallet,
yeah.
misplaced her wallet, and her driver's license details were compromised.
Yeah.
And they then basically took this driver's license into a phone shop and bought a really expensive iPhone.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, no one in the phone shop picked up on the fact that this wasn't this person's ID
yeah.
and let it go through.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like they've entered into basically a financial contract, like a mm. phone plan under her name.
Yeah.
And whatever happens with that financial contract, let's assume it's not going to be paid because they're undertaking a scam,
yeah.
Probably not going to
yeah.
be paid,
yeah, yeah.
you know, then is on your record
mm.
and your credit history and your financial like record and going through the process to actually clear that
yeah.
and get that removed can be quite challenging.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, it's also that like in the scenario of this young girl, if mm. this was a scam and this person then say had the means and the information to go and open like a credit card under her name with
yeah.
her information, unbeknownst to her,
mm.
like I have absolutely heard stories of this happening and then people basically, you know, 5 years down the line figure out that they've got a terrible credit history that isn't even to do with them, that they
yeah.
were never aware of, and then need to go through the process of having that all unwound, which
yeah.
is very challenging.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was challenging for them as well to,
yeah.
because they were also trying to apply
for a home loan
and a passport, I think,
yes.
a New Zealand passport or something, and then her identity was compromised, so
yep.
obviously red flags in the system
yep.
all over the place.
Yes.
Last potential tips or tips for spotting a scam are looking for official organizations or checking out the company that is,
mm,
you know, calling you or whatever.
You.
Yeah. On the company's register to see if they're an actual legitimate and credible business.
Yep.
And also like digging a bit on the company's register, if there are links through to five different companies and then they're not registered in New Zealand, or like, you know, for some reason showing some overseas holdings or whatever, maybe question if you can't like readily like figure it out.
Yes.
Last one would also be, so the FMA website has a lot of details of warning and real life examples of scams. So if you're wondering if your scenario is potentially a scam, maybe you want to look for some cases on there that could be a like for like scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love it. Any other tips you want to add?
The last tip I was just going to say, because I think at the start of this episode, you touched on the fact that this is, you know, something that gets a lot of media because it's like, is it the responsibility of the bank or is it the responsibility of the individual? Yeah. And recently we had the scenario where a customer at Kernel wanted to transfer some money into a genuine investment account because it's going to a Kernel custodian account. Mm-hmm. And because it was a relatively large sum of money, they went into a branch to do that because it was over their daily transfer limit, and they just felt that that was the easiest way, like go into the branch, get the branch to facilitate the transfer, pay whatever the fee is, like $25 fee to have that done, and that was easier done. Now when they went into the branch, even though they had all of their ID documentation with them to prove that they were, you know, the customers that owned that account, the branch would not facilitate that payment to the custody account of Kernel until they had proof via like letterhead from the custodian bank account to confirm that that was the correct account and not a scam account or just any random account. And the reason that they did that is because the bank told them that if they made that payment, they needed to be sure it wasn't being paid to a scam or it was being paid to a legitimate, you know, financial institution, as opposed to if those individuals just made that payment through their online banking, the onus of responsibility is on them. So there's no checks and balances. I think it is, you know, a case of like with the changes to how financial services work and the fact that like everyone can bank on their phones and it's all, you know, instantaneous and real time transfers and things are really easy and the likes. It's like, it is amazing because we can do things in our financial world much quicker, but more responsibility and onus is being pushed back onto the individual as opposed to necessarily the financial institutions. Is that right or wrong? I'm not really going to comment on that because I also kind of, I'm like, you do the thing, it's your money, like you need to do some checks and balances. But I just think that that was like an important differentiation of, you know, generationally speaking, there was a time and a place where everyone would go into a branch and that's true, just that's how they banked and that's how they, you know, made financial transactions. And the fact that we're in a completely different like technologically based time means that you need to be more aware. You need to take an onus of responsibility. You need to be educated about what could happen to your money and how you could perhaps be at risk.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that's a really nice distinction also between the in-person and online. It like makes a lot of sense that that's where also the line is around, you know, if the bank is placing that transaction on your behalf and you have authorized them to do that, then that's like their responsibility or like their, you know, versus you doing that in real time, online, like you're actively making that decision and choosing the numbers and doing that yourself, right?
Exactly. And I think, it's just a case of being aware, asking questions. To all your points, Christine, like thinking, is this actually urgent? Is this legitimate? You know, is this something I was expecting? Has this come out of the blue? You know, I always take the rule of like, if someone calls me on an unknown number and I feel a bit iffy about answering it, I just let it go to voicemail because I'm like, if it's important,
they'll leave a message.
They'll text or they'll call me back.
Yeah.
You know, like don't feel pressured that you need to necessarily engage with everything that's unknown. I also kind of feel like that sometimes I, you know, you
like international numbers. I'm like, no. Like, email
Who's
me.
Who's calling me? This is weird. They'll get in touch another way. So I think, you know, having your own parameters and just being aware
can go a long way.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly. Love it. So listeners out there, please jump.
Be wise.
Well, yeah, be wise, but also slide into the DMs. Let us know if you think the situation was sugar daddy or scam. Am I being too unrealistic? Like, are there just really nice sugar daddies out there?
Should Kat have said something earlier?
Exactly. Do I have a moral responsibility to go find this person and warn them?
Yeah, it goes door knocking.
But yeah, I mean, in interesting times out there, so please stay safe.
Oh, I love it. Well, and thanks for listening. We will be back next week with another episode.
Great. See you then.
Bye.